We have a very important episode today to talk about pain. Today, our expert is Barbie Engle, who is an author, healthcare expert, conference speaker, TV talk show guest, and politician. Thank you for inviting us into your life today.
I developed a rare disease after an auto accident, and it took me 42 medical providers to get a proper diagnosis. Only 5% of rare diseases have a cure, and the rest of the time they're just treating symptoms.
Together, we will confront a worldwide threat and offer actionable steps to preserve you and your loved ones' peace.
All of a sudden, all the lights are going to go out. Your cell phone's going to be dead.
Every day, things are shaping up to the end of time as we know them.
They're going to be at the top of the pile while the rest of us are completely decimated.
There is an increased threat, unlimited access to Facebook, Instagram.
Subscribe and you will be first on the list to receive the next episode, How to Maintain Peace While Facing a Worldwide Threat. Good afternoon, this is John White. I'm the host of Worldwide Threat. Today we have a fantastic episode talking about pain. Everybody deals with that a little bit. Our expert is Barbie Engle. She's a healthcare expert, and she's going to explain to us about pain and genetics. And so right now she's on board. So how are you doing today, girl?
Hi, I'm doing good. I'm so glad to be here with you, John.
It's wonderful to have you, as busy as you are. I know you're busy all the time. So what I'd like to do is ask you a few questions first. Share with us how you got involved in the healthcare and genetics associated stuff. Make it so I can understand it.
I developed a rare disease after an auto accident. It took about 8 seconds for the auto accident. Went to the hospital. They told me everything would be good in a few days. I was going to be sore. I had whiplash. And turns out that auto accident triggered a rare disease that I have called algoneurodystrophy. And it took me 42 medical providers to get a proper diagnosis. I went through multiple major surgeries and minor surgeries and really had to learn how to be my own best advocate. And once I was able to advocate for myself, I saw how important it was to advocate for other people. And even after I got a diagnosis, which took 3 years, and another 4 years until I got a proper diagnosis, because the disease I have, algoneurodystrophy, is actually a rare disease, and only 5% of rare diseases have a cure. And the rest of the time, they're just treating symptoms, which we tend to do a lot in our healthcare system. But learning how to navigate the healthcare system, it led me to advocate and to actually, now I'm going into legislation, and I've been working on legislation since 2009, but I've actually written or co-written 7 bills, and 2 of them are already law. 2 of them will become laws this year, and I'll keep working until we get the system fixed.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So, like, what kind of, other than what you talked about, please share with us about a specific illness. Like, I talked to you about, thyroid issues or diabetes before when we were on the phone. Talk Yes. about a specific illness or threat that you've uncovered, how this all ties together.
So the biggest
this big thing.
Right. So the biggest one for me is algoneurodystrophy, but I also have hypothyroid, also known as Graves' disease, where my thyroid isn't working properly, and your thyroid regulates your heart and your metabolism and signals between
Everything.
The heart and the brain. Yeah. You're basically your body. You're it's part of the brain system. And so I have that. I also have PALB2 breast cancer. My father passed away with complications to type 2 diabetes. Hopefully I have had a different lifestyle and food choices, and I won't have that same suffering that he had. But then I also know about over 166 different diseases, and how it all ties in is that we're each individuals. So even if you have the exact same disease, and whether it's a common disease or a rare disease, it needs to be treated individually. And I had to figure out a way to get the proper treatment. And in doing so, figured out how to get access to genetic testing. And now it's even more widely available, and it hopefully will continue to be so, so that more and more people will have that genetic testing and they can get individualized care that works for them. I have other family members with the same oligoneurodystrophy rare disease as myself, and we do different treatments, and it takes different medications, different physical therapy activities, and that type of thing. So, you know, it really, even if you're genetically related, you still need to find out what is right for you as an individual. And I actually had to talk to RFK Jr. about individualizing care and how important it is for us.
That's amazing. You know, I think I brought this up. My wife, I think I told you, deals with gluten allergies. Remember, yes, we talked about that?
I remember, yeah.
And she's with a functional doctor, but she was going to try to do this interview today, but she actually got a cold, believe it or not. So, because I really wanted to introduce her to you, but and we'll do that in the future.
Yes.
And on the gluten, we just, and that's, I don't know how many people, but it's crazy how many people deal with gluten allergies. I'm sure you're aware of that. And this genetic testing, have you found any that can really help people to deal with gluten?
Absolutely. When it comes to food, you can do a whole genome sequencing, which it would be my top recommendation. But if you can't afford to do that, I would say do a microbiome test, which looks at your genetics, your DNA, and compares it to the foods that are available for you in this world. And it will tell you what foods will aggravate your genetic conditions and or sensitivities. And it can tell you what your superfoods are. It will tell you the things that you can eat, you know, once in a while. And then it'll tell you a list of things that you need to avoid. And taking that information, one of the things that makes it so powerful is that we can use that to improve our daily living, but it also turns it from a subjective, when I eat wheat, my stomach hurts or my intestines aren't working properly, to something objective that the doctors can't argue with you. Other people, when you go to a restaurant and you're like, I have a gluten allergy, they can't argue with you about it and say, oh, you're just being a picky eater. You can actually show, hey, I actually have this sensitivity or allergy, and I need to absolutely have no contact with onions or gluten or tomatoes or whatever it is that you shouldn't be having. And having that test done, a microbiome test, can specifically tell you what to eat, what not to eat. And if you get a whole genome sequencing test, that is one of the pieces of information looking at the whole you that you can fit into the puzzle.
So where, as not understanding any of this, and I've been dealing with a woman for years that's had to deal with this,
okay,
when we go to a restaurant, and you know what it's like. So it's like we just came back from a trip and we're in restaurants and she's trying to communicate what she can eat and what she can't eat. And they kind of look at you like you're a little brain dead. And so where would you point people to go to get this kind of test?
If you want just a microbiome test, so just looking at your gut health, and I've gone through this test individually before whole genome sequencing was available, you can go to a company called Viome, V-I-O-M-E. I don't get paid by them. I'm not.
I hope you do.
But I do. I have sent them a lot of customers because the detailed information was so helpful. I was getting kidney stones multiple times a year, and at some points I was getting multiple kidney stones at the same time. And they say having a kidney stone is like having a baby, except for this one is spiky and cuts you all the way out. And changing what I ate based on my microbiome test from Viome, I was able to slow down my kidney stones to about one a year. And some years I haven't had one, but you know, there's been a few years where I have, but it slowed it way down and I'm not having constant chronic kidney issues. I also, secondary to my algoneurodystrophy, I do have gastroparesis. So my stomach doesn't just not process food properly. Food will sit in there for days sometimes, and that can lead to molding and fungus growing and make chronic vomiting happen and make you really sick. So I really have to watch what I eat, what my body can process, and also let my body remind myself that my body takes longer to process food than the normal average person.
And you know, my daughter, I've got a daughter who's 39, and she's had, since she's 16, something like 80 kidney stones.
Ooh, yes. Microbiome testing.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That would be good news for her, because it's crazy. It's how hard it is on her to deal with all that. And she keeps going to doctors, and they kind of just scratch their head. They don't really know how to stop that.
I had 9 colonoscopies and 8 endoscopies, where they were looking at everything and trying to figure it out. And I had one of the providers, I ended up firing him, a medical doctor. He said, everything's good. Just don't worry about it.
You don't believe it's happening, right?
He didn't believe. Yeah. And then I said, well, I know what I'm living with. I know what I'm going through. And you cannot tell me that nothing's wrong. And with that, I'm going to sit in your waiting room until you write a letter to my primary care doctor saying that there's nothing wrong with me, because I know there's something wrong. And that's why I'm here. And he took 45 minutes and they wrote up a letter and he gave me a sealed envelope and said, take this to your primary care doctor. And it was sealed. He didn't want me to see my own results. Wow. And I went to my car and I opened up the letter. I went to the car and I opened up the letter, and it had 8 diagnoses, including gastroparesis, as to why intestinal ischemia. It was a list of things that were going wrong between my esophagus all the way through to my colon, of not getting proper blood flow, and how my stomach was emptying slow, which is gastroparesis, and it doesn't contract like a normal stomach does. And I knew something was wrong. But it made him look like a bad doctor, because he didn't want me to know that he knew something was wrong also. So I fired him. I got a new doctor. He went in and he did biopsies and confirmed that my small nerve fibers are not firing properly and it's causing issues throughout. Again, the microbiome testing helped me see what my body can process based on my genetics and what I individually need. It helped me redesign how I eat, whether I'm eating out or eating at home. People can call me picky eater, but I have proof now, and I am able to say, no, that's not something I can eat. My body can't process that.
Well, it's hard for you to find a restaurant, isn't it?
It is. People say, let's go out to dinner. And I'm like, okay, you pick a restaurant, and I go study not just what's on the menu, but I have to go and look in the ingredients. And then when I get there, I confirm, is this in there? Is celery in your soup? You know, things that would not affect the normal person, but they affect my body.
You know, my wife's going to love you. I can tell you that already. When I show her this tape, I hope I get to hook her up with you, because she wrestles this alligator, not as harshly as you, but she wrestles this alligator that we're talking about with eating. And so we just went on a trip and it was all about it. So tell me a little bit more about... which is amazing that you're actually working with RFK. Tell us a little bit about what that task is for you.
Well, I don't have my official task yet, but I will be working under one of his assistants on a team, and I will be talking about and being the voice of chronic pain and rare disease, and helping them see the patient side of our healthcare system. And our healthcare system is working as designed very poorly. I'm hoping that we can recreate a health system that works not just for acute situations and diseases, but for chronic diseases as well as rare diseases, which oftentimes get overlooked. 95% of our rare diseases don't have a cure and don't have a viable or progressive treatment that can assist that patient. So we absolutely need to keep focused on that. And I will be that patient in the room saying, wait, we forgot about this. Wait, that's not how it goes when patients go into the operating room or into the emergency room or doctor's office. This is what's actually happening out there. And then I will lean on my network of patients and caregivers and providers and industry leaders to make sure that I'm bringing as much information forward that can help redesign and rebuild the system.
That's amazing that you're doing that, because I know you're going to get a lot of pushback from probably some major organizations. However, welcome to life.
Absolutely. Right. I'm ready. I know I've had to walk out of a hospital before because they told me their hospital was too dirty to access my portacath. And if you tell me your hospital's too dirty, I have to believe that your hospital's too dirty to treat me. They shouldn't be putting an IV in anybody if it's if a portacath is too dirty. So, or their hospital's too dirty for a portacath. So it absolutely needs to be addressed, and I'm ready to push back, and I am not afraid to walk away from negotiations for everybody to calm down and then come back together and say, okay, now let's really fix it.
Well, that's great. Well, you're an exceptional woman.
Thank you.
I have one more question. It's basically, if you understand what we're all about, I created this idea called the worldwide threat. There's a history to it to show people that watch it what threats are, and then bring experts on board that can talk about solutions and also talk about how to give them peace. So my primary question with every guest is, you know what the threat is. We've just talked about these threats, even talking about your situation and the medical system, whatever else. I don't even have a clue all this stuff. But what would you say to my audience about having peace during this time?
I would say hold on to hope. There's a great reason for it, and that's because there is help. We just have to reach out and seek it. You have to look below the surface, scratch, look down deeper. If you're looking at a clinical trial, see who participated. What do they have the same condition as you, or did they take a random sampling? Really dig down deep into the science of whatever health condition you are facing and see what's coming down the pipeline. There's a great reason for hope, and I have seen major improvements over the last 20 plus years living with a rare disease and chronic pain myself. So I know that we have a lot to do to fix it. It is being worked on, but you are part of the process. So step up and take control of your own individualized care.
That's wonderful. You know, you said you fired a doctor. Well, I've done that myself.
Good.
They kind of look at you funny when you do that, but one of the things, I'll just share this with you, and whether or not my producer edits it out, we don't know. But I had a knee replacement years ago, and I walked into the office, and I met this doctor, and he looked like he just got out of high school, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I want to know what kind of grades you get in college before you start working on me, pal. He looked at me like, what? I said, I want to know what kind of grades you got. I don't want some C-grade doc working on me, right?
Yes.
And he was good. He handled it well. He says, I do about 40 of these a week and about 20 of these a week and about 10 of these a week. I said, oh, I guess you'd be okay then.
Yeah.
But nobody does that.
You know what they call a doctor who was the last in their class at medical school?
What?
Doctor.
Right.
So, yeah.
We definitely need to air that.
Where are you on the spectrum of doctors? How good or bad are you going to be? And, you know, they need to be open and listen to the patients, especially if they were in that bottom half of the class, because they're still getting that doctor on the wall.
Oh my God.
They still have their diploma up there, but where were they in the spectrum?
We're definitely going to air that. I'll probably get some heat over it, but I don't care. I think the audience alone would love to know about these tests and these companies. And I don't care if they pay you or not. They should pay you
if you're making
a difference.
Yeah.
These tests aren't inexpensive. My wife has had a Dunwoody test. Have you ever heard of that? It's a food test.
Yes.
And it's like a $500 test, and it's supposed to tell you what you're allergic to, what you're not allergic to, and all that. Last one she took, they said she wasn't allergic to gluten. So we go out and she eats gluten. She's sick for 3 days.
Right, exactly. They need to look at your DNA, and so with Viome, they're testing your poop, the DNA in your poop. With whole genome sequencing, it's a cheek swab, and they're able to get that information. So when doctors tell you, "Oh, let's try the elimination diet or something like that," they have to do is look at your DNA and actually see what the reaction is. They're not going to see when they do all the little pricks on your arm and your back to see what you're allergic to, that they're not seeing the inflammation in your stomach and your spine and your brain that occurs when you eat gluten. They're not seeing that. They see a skin reaction. Not all sensitivities and allergies and diseases will affect your skin when they're affecting you inside. So
definitely
look at the DNA. Years ago, I read a study. Doctors know 3 medications on average very, very well. And everything else, they have to look up. That's incredible to me. So if they're a diabetes medical professional, but they go and treat somebody with hypothyroid, they're not in the same realm. They can look it up. What medication do I order for this? But they don't know those ins and outs of the calcium. And even like some calcium has to be taken, like a specific, like D3 calcium.
Right.
Versus regular calcium so that your body can absorb it correctly. And some have to be taken with folic acid or other things so that your body, and that's why it's so important to know individually who you are on that genetic level as to what is affecting you or what will or won't affect you.
I've never heard anybody speak about this like you have about it. It's an individual thing.
Absolutely.
It's an individual DNA thing. And yep. Most doctors look at you as just part of the mass. Well, you're a diabetic, therefore you're all the same. But that's not the case based on what you're saying. So we really have to punch that hard.
Hard. I and think. Doctors are taught in medical school that if it sounds like a horse and kind of looks like a horse, stick it out in the pasture. You know, everybody with this, go out there. This is what you do. You all get the same thing. We'll see who becomes the racehorse and who becomes the glue on the shelf. And with rare disease patients, with patients that have genetic anomalies, we need to look at them at like, it's a zebra. Don't stick me in the pasture with horses. I need something totally different. And if you treat me with what I actually need, I will improve and be able to contribute to society.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing. So I'm a zebra, not a horse. And that's why I got my zebra outfit on here today.
That's amazing. Yeah. My wife calls herself a zebra too. That's the second time I've heard that.
Yes.
She's a zebra.
Yes.
You're a zebra. You got your zebra shirt on.
Yep.
You need to get on national TV with this shirt, girl.
Thank you.
You need to get up there with, I'm a zebra and I'm going to tell you what it's like, right?
Let me tell you. Yes, for sure.
Thank you. You've been a blessing. You've been a blessing.
Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Please help us to help you be WWT informed.
China is going to be more of our enduring threat using coercion.
Who are the people that we can trust around us? The Bible tells us that in the end times, they're going to be able to follow anything that we do.
There's equipment on our grid that adversarial nations can flip off the switch.
It's already happening, so there's proof.
And are the American people going to rise up?
Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab, and we will send you advance notices about upcoming episodes and the threats to be discussed. We will provide you each week with an action guide that details everything that may help you and your family have peace over these threats.